Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, how you doing tonight? Welcome to the next phase with Ice and Friends. And of course, I always like to start off my segment by getting a few things out of the way. And one of the things I like to get out of the way is to give you a general description of what this thing's all about. And to begin with, I'd like to offer this disclaimer. Any comments or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or beliefs of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. This show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in the community can increase their abilities to acquire more income for themselves. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact, and also will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments from time to time, interesting guests from time to time, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest, if you have an interest in improving situations for our youth, especially in stemming incarceration, estimates for minority members of this society, and reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many other pertinent topics, too numerous to include. We'll take a look at all these right here when you join us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. And as usual, the show starts off. We have a guest, 2795. Welcome. If you haven't registered, you might register, and that way you, I think, can have access to the phone, and also you can have access to the chat room. And you're welcome to post in the chat room if you so choose. And let me give you the number to give to call into, if you feel like it. The number to call into is area code 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. And tonight I was going to readdress an issue that came up last week. And in that issue, what it was about was trying to assess providing people with information everyone should know about blood clots and stroke. And, you know, they now have a fourth indicator. So that you can determine if a friend or family member, or just if you're passing by, happen to be in a group of people that may, you might see someone having some type of medical difficulties, and you might assess it to be a stroke. One of the things that you can do in trying to make your assessment is to look for some indicators. And we'll give you this brief scenario, and during the process of this brief scenario, at the end, we'll provide you with some information that might be of some assistance to you if you find someone who is having some trouble in regard to a stroke. It says, during a barbecue, a friend stumbled and took a little fall. She assured everyone that she was fine. They offered to call the paramedics, but she said she had just tripped over bricks because she had some new shoes. Excuse me. They got her cleaned up and got her a new plate of food. And while she appeared to be a bit shaken up, Ingrid, that was the lady's name, went about enjoying herself the rest of the evening. Ingrid's husband called later, telling everyone that his wife had been taken to the hospital at 6 p.m. At 6 p.m., Ingrid had passed away. She had suffered a stroke at the barbecue, and no one had detected it. Had they known to identify the signs of a stroke, perhaps Ingrid would be with us today. You know, some people don't die when they have a stroke. They end up in a helpless, hopeless condition instead. It only takes a minute to read this. A neurologist says that if he can get to a stroke victim within 3 hours, he can totally reverse the effects of a stroke. That is, totally reverse the effects of a stroke. He said the trick was getting a stroke recognized, diagnosed, and then getting the patient medically cared for within 3 hours. That is tough to do. But one of the things that makes it a lot easier to do is when you are able to recognize the signs of a stroke. And it says, thank God for the sense to remember three steps. Those three steps include have the acronym STR. It says, read and learn. Sometimes symptoms of a stroke are difficult to identify. Unfortunately, the lack of awareness spells disaster. The stroke victim may suffer severe brain damage when people nearby fail to recognize the symptoms of a stroke. Okay. The things to remember are the first three letters of stroke, S-T-N-R, S-T-N-R. It says, now doctors say a bystander can recognize a stroke by asking three simple questions. S, ask the individual to smile. And obviously, when a person is in the throes of a stroke, they'll have some difficulties with facial muscle controls. So you should, number one, S-T-R, ask the person to smile. T, ask the person to talk and speak a simple sentence coherently. The example that they give is, it is sunny out today. Just a sentence that simple could possibly save someone's life, or at least diminish the damage that a stroke could do to an individual. And R is ask the person to raise both arms. And obviously, I guess in the throes of a stroke, it would be difficult to raise both arms simultaneously. If he or she has trouble with any one of these tasks, call emergency number immediately. Okay, and describe the symptoms to the dispatcher. New sign of a stroke is stick out your tongue. Obviously, in the throes of a stroke again, muscle control is going to be very difficult. So another sign of a stroke is this. Ask a person to stick out his tongue. If the tongue is crooked or if it goes to one side or the other, that also is an indication of a stroke. And I just wanted to throw that out there because what I try to do with each one of the shows that I do is to provide you with some kind of a safety tip that might be beneficial for you or your family. One of the other things I'd like to suggest that you take a look at is that there are about 18,000 people each year that are injured, if not killed, by accidental backovers. And let me read this article, and then I'll give you a little snippet that I got. I can't remember where exactly that I got it from. But it said, an estimated 292 people are killed, an additional 18,000 are injured each year in a motor vehicle backover accident or incidents. According to a report from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA is required to present a report, fatalities and injuries in motor vehicle backing crashes. Under the Cameron Gulberson Kids Transportation Act of 2007. Result of the report available for download at www.nhtsa.dot.gov/pubs/811144.pdf. Include 78% of backover fatalities and 95% of backover injuries involved passenger vehicles. Children younger than 5 and adults 70 and older have an elevated risk of being a backover victim. And the story that I wanted to share with you was that there was someone who shared with me an incident where a grandmother, and this was someone that was close to the family, a grandmother got in a car, and she was getting ready to back out of her driveway. And she didn't notice that her granddaughter was behind her. So in a rush or whatever, she backed out of her driveway and backed over her granddaughter. And it was a fatal accident at that point. The grandmother was so distraught that the grandmother had a heart attack. So she, I don't remember whether or not she survived, but she was in critical condition is the last account of that story that I had. And there was a situation indeed where the daughter, the mother of the child, and the daughter of the driver was left with the loss of her child and the potential loss of her mother as a result of a backing accident. So what does that suggest is that before, if you have children, Like at this point in life, I have grandchildren, and if you have children and or grandchildren or nieces, nephews, neighbors, or whatever, and I hope this never happens to anyone, but before you back out of your driveway or before you make any moves with a car in reverse, please check behind your vehicle and make sure that you don't have one of your, hey, welcome, 2795 guest. Whenever you're backing out, be sure to check behind your vehicle and make sure you don't have one of your relatives or friends or whatever behind your car. That's one of the issues that I wanted to bring up as a safety reminder for you. And I have some other things that I'd like to discuss, but if you have a chance, give us a call. The number to call us at is... I never write this number down. The number to call us at is 347-945-7040. Welcome, guest 2982. If you would like to give us a call, give us a call at 347-945-7040. Your call would be welcome right here. And one of the other things that I wanted to have a discussion about is, you know, I'm thinking a lot about this accident that's occurring down in, well, incident, should I say, that's occurring. 2991, welcome. If you'd like to, you can text in the room or give me a call. The number that you can reach us at is 347-945-7040, and we will be having guests in the future, guest speakers with different topics in the future, but right now it's going to be primarily driven by your calls, if you choose to call. Otherwise, I have some information that I've compiled here that would suffice to carry us through for the next hour and a half, because we'll be here until 8:30. And so I'd appreciate if you have anything that you'd like to discuss with us that you would, feel free to discuss it. And, feel free to give us a call. Let's see, one of the other things, I was thinking about this, there was a case where there was a nun that was fired, and we go all over the place, so, you know, any topic that you want to bring to the fore, feel free to do so, because I think, you know, I'm not an expert on anything, but I feel confident to be able to entertain you with providing us with information on any subject that you choose to bring to the forefront. But one of the things that I had kind of selected was to talk about this topic where a nun was excommunicated after saving a mother's life with abortion. And, you know, that was an interesting topic for me. It kind of put me in a position. There's a friend of mine that's doing a paper in about this particular topic. And anyway, let me give you this some information on this, and maybe you might have a reaction to it. If you do have a reaction to it, I hope you give us a call here at Blog Talk Radio. There we go. I found it. Okay, it's the number to call is 347-945-7040. Okay. And I'm learning. This is my third, I think this is my third show. So it's kind of fun for me, and it's given me an opportunity to learn how to operate this Blog Talk Radio. And it affords anyone a chance to produce their own show and with any information that you might want to bring to the public. But this particular situation, excuse me just a second. This particular subject talks about a nun excommunicated after saving a mother's life with abortion. And it says the church stands by its decision to kick out Sister Margaret McBride after she authorized an emergency abortion to save a woman's life. Sister Margaret McBride was forced to make a decision between her faith and a woman's life last year when a 27-year-old mother of four rushed into St. Joseph's Hospital in Phoenix only 11 weeks pregnant. I think prayed and prayed. I'm sure that this weighed on her like a ton of bricks. This was not an easy decision for her, says a longtime friend, Mary Jo McDonald. As a key member of the hospital's ethics board, McBride gathered with doctors on November of 2009 to discuss the young woman's fate. The mother was suffering from pulmonary hypertension, and an illness the doctors believed would likely kill her. As a result, her unborn child, if she did not abort the pregnancy, would kill her and her unborn child if she did not abort the pregnancy. So this nurse is thrown between trying to make a decision as to save the mother or take a chance on both the mother and the child passing away as a result of trying to have this mother take this birth to term. In the end, McBride chose to save the young woman's life by agreeing to authorize an emergency abortion, a decision that has now forced her out of her job and the Catholic Church. Despite being described as sanity, courageous, the moral conscience of the Catholic hospital, McBride was excommunicated from the Catholic Church by Phoenix Bishop Thomas J. Olmstead for supporting the abortion. An unborn child is not a disease. The end does not justify the means, Olmstead said, in a statement issued by Arizona Republic newspaper this past May. Hospital officials defended McBride's action and released a statement saying, in this tragic case, the treatment necessary to save the mother's life required determination of an 11-week pregnancy. Although many medical ethicists say it was the right decision, the hospital confirmed McBride has been removed from her position as a senior administrator and reassigned. Critics are arguing McBride's punishment is double standard. Many are pointing out that it has often taken years for priests who sexually abuse children to be even reprimanded, let alone excommunicated. And if you have a position on that issue, I'd encourage you to give us a call again at 347-945-7040. That's one of the things that I really have a problem with is, you know, how do you make a determination? The lady had four children, a mother of four, and had they attempted to carry out the birth of this child, there's a possibility that both the mother and the child would have been lost. And by having aborted the child, it at least allowed the mother to be there. So there you are in a quandary. You have potentially a husband who would have four children to raise without his wife, as opposed to having his wife and understanding that the birth of that fifth child might have been catastrophic for the mother. And so I don't know how do you feel about that? I mean, does it ring a bell? Does it provoke you in any way? Got a call here from 315-41412. Let me put you on the line. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Do you have a position on that issue?
Yes, I do.
Or any
Being
other comment
Catholic.
Is welcome. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Being a Catholic myself,
okay,
I see this and hear this all the time.
Okay.
But as far as I'm concerned,
uh-huh,
I think that the children would be better off with their mother. Sometimes children being young do not understand the position of the church.
Uh-huh.
And I would dearly hate for the children to grow up with a hard feeling towards God and the church.
Right.
I would rather have, if this is hard to say because I am Catholic, but I think that she did the right thing to preserve that family.
Right.
You know, the greater good.
Right.
You know, the greater good is always the best way. And
right.
I know where the church stands, and they're kind of hard
mm-hmm.
On that stand. But this woman preserved a family.
Right.
And she gave those kids that are alive and well a chance to keep on believing in the religion that they are.
Right.
You know, if they're Catholic, then, you know, they won't have hard feelings toward Catholicism.
Right, right. May I ask you a question? I mean, and what I'm not going to do is ask you to take any particular position in regard to the Catholic Church, but by virtue of the fact that you are practicing Catholic, you know, and which, listen, let me say, I believe I'm a believer in the Bible. I was my orientation is Baptist faith. That's where I was raised. But I wouldn't by any means try to defend the Baptist Church. But I could give you my opinion in regard to any issue as it, you know, relates to the Baptist Church, you know. And what I'd just like to ask you is, do you sense any real strain or deep concerns with members of the church in regard to some of these issues that you could say, or maybe, I wouldn't say social, I don't know, I wouldn't say political, I guess you would say religious issues, for instance, the priest, the abortion issue. I mean, I'm just wondering, and not that you're an expert, not that you're speaking for anyone except just an opinion that you may have, how do you feel, do you feel comfortable in that faith? Having some disagreement with some of the leaders of that faith?
I do, because there is no organization, religion, that does not have people in their congregation or organization that disagree with them. People having free will are going to disagree with you, regardless of what rules and regulations you put down. I do see people in the Catholic religion that are against this stand.
Right.
Quite certainly a husband would be against it if it meant keeping his wife, if he's
right.
in love with her.
Right.
But I really, this is hard to do because I...
No, I understand.
I'm sitting back here.
I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but I just have a concern because, you know, I've taken issue in some instances in a public, virtually a public setting, and my issues have to do with the fact that I think, me personally, that I would opt to have my wife, and if it was going to jeopardize her life, for instance, in that situation. And, you know, I've never had the opportunity to have a conversation with a practicing Catholic before. And I just, you know, had those concerns that I wanted to submit for your consideration.
Well, there are points in the Catholic Church or Catholicism that I do disagree with.
Right,
but
understand.
There are points in all things that, you know,
right,
I might
exactly.
disagree with. So
right.
nothing is perfect, save God. And
absolutely.
So there are going to be issues, regardless
right.
of where or who you are, there are going to be issues. But in this instance, I believe this nun, God bless her,
right.
made the right decision.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I won't have anything, you know, other than that, but agreement with you on that particular on that subject and from that perspective, because again, you know, just what little bit that was in that article there suggest, and you know, and it suggested a certain compassion that nun had, and. I mean, it's extraordinary her realizing that she would jeopardize the faith that she had practiced for all her life, you know, to make a decision that would, in my mind, be extremely, it's difficult, but I think that it was the right decision under the circumstances.
Yes. God gives us free will to
right.
each and every one of us. I don't care if you're Catholic, Jewish, Protestant, whatever you are, God mm-hmm. gives you free will. And men put certain rules on this or whatever, or they interpret
right.
interpret the scriptures certain mm-hmm. ways, but
right.
in the end, the choice is yours.
Right.
What you can live with in your mind and with mm-hmm. your God. I just don't see
right.
giving up a person's life to ruin four or five people's lives.
Right.
I can't see that. I couldn't see
right.
giving up five lives to save one, and then
no.
you might not save it. You know, I just could not see it.
No, you know, and that from that capacity aspect of. You know, and I won't go any further with you, you know, because I know that it could be, you know, I don't want to put you in a position where you feel uncomfortable by me pursuing those questions with you. I wish there were more people, you know, where I could, you know, get, you know, not, you know, really question you a lot of, but you understand what I'm saying? Because I really appreciate you being honest, you know, on your position, you know. And that's one of the issues that I've had a problem in discussing, especially, you know, there are some other things, and you're too nice a person. I'm more, I guess, I don't know what the word is, confrontational. And you are just such a wonderful lady, and I really appreciate you giving a call. And you know, there are some other issues that, you know, I could get into that you know, one of the things that I think about is the issue with the priests. And there is some other. May I read another part of this article to you, and get your reaction
sure.
to it?
You
okay,
most certainly.
I'm sorry.
You most certainly may.
Thank you. Appreciate it, ma'am. It says none excommunicate for permitting abortion to save mother's life. All right. And this part of it says it's very disturbing to me to see how the pedophiles cause cases. Have been handled, and yet how fast the bishops came out and excommunicated Sister Margaret McBride, one of her friends said. Many experts in canon law of the Catholic legal system say McBride's decision is admissible. And although the bishop focused on was the abortion, not on the other circumstances, included that the mother was almost certainly going to die. And canon lawyer Father Thomas Doyle said, but right now only the Phoenix Diocese ruling stands, and she is no longer a member of the Catholic Church. And I hope I read that. I know I struggle reading, so I hope that you were able to get what I was trying to say with the rest of this article here.
Yes, I got it.
Oh, okay.
And I hear it a lot. I hear it
mm-hmm.
a lot.
Right.
As far as this woman is concerned,
mm-hmm.
she was she has free thinking. She made her decision.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, she lives with her decision.
Exactly.
She knew what it entailed before
exactly.
she did it.
Isn't that
she
something?
Knew.
I mean, ooh wee, that's powerful. That is powerful.
She made a decision. She made a decision. She
oh
saw
God.
The situation and
yeah.
made that decision.
Right.
And it's something she would feel good with living with for the rest of her life. And no one can answer to God to her,
right.
for her but her.
Oh,
do you
my
understand
God.
What
yeah.
I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes old ways die hard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some people don't like change.
Right,
but,
right.
Like I said, I'm a Catholic, and I, you know, there are a lot of things that I believe.
Right.
In the Catholic religion.
Right.
If I had a choice to choose between an unborn
right.
child that I didn't know and
mm-hmm.
maybe, say, for instance, my daughter, which
mm-hmm.
I've known
oh,
all
oh.
of her life.
Now that, yeah, right.
Of course, my daughter would win out, and I just have to praise God for it.
Hey,
and
oh,
I would
amen.
Know,
right.
I would know that the consequences or what I would have to do.
Right.
It would be my decision, an informed adult decision.
Right, exactly.
But who are we to take the decision from those children, whether to keep their mother or not?
Isn't that something? Wow. That is...
So...
Woo.
So I'm all for this nun or ex-nun, whichever she is.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
sure God is in, I'm very sure God is in other places besides
right.
the Catholic Church.
Even
that
you
my chosen religion
right.
is
and I'm,
Catholicism. But
right.
I'm sure that God resides in other places.
You know, and I'm by no means... you know, trying to ill address you as a practicing Catholic, but this was such an interesting and powerful article for me as I read, because there's an aspect of a person who had sacrificed their entire life. I don't know, I can't remember what her age was up to that point, and she worked her way all the way up to an administrative position, and she put it every bit on the line to make this decision, and I think honestly that this is a decision that a lot of guys might not have made, you know, and I think that brings, you know, a totally different perspective, because, you know, it's the same thing with me as far as the Supreme Court and adding female perspectives on the Supreme Court. You bring a totally different life experience than I could have as a male. You understand what I'm saying?
Of course, I understand.
Yeah.
Because you live as a male, and
mm-hmm.
I live as a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. Life is life, but it's a different point of view.
Right.
So there would be a different perspective brought forth.
Right, exactly.
On the courts.
Yeah, and I think that it makes for a richer, more well-rounded decision-making process, you know, whereas, you know, coming from just, quote-unquote, a certain specific segment of society that makes a decision for the entire dynamic of the, you know, the entire social dynamic, I think that's really lacking. I mean, you know, it just doesn't seem to me to be inclusive enough to bring different aspects of, you know, whatever lives there are out there. And I can make certain determinants, because I have daughters. I have two daughters, actually, and three sons. And, you know, my daughters... You know, they, you know, pretty much, we are, you know, think somewhat similarly, but they add so much richness to any conversations or discussions of any issues, you know, that we can bring about, and it's a total advantage. Obviously, it is, or else there wouldn't be men and women being married to each other. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But And I really appreciate, I hope I'm not boring you, but I really appreciate you giving a call here. And there was another topic. Are you in a rush? Am I rushing you off?
No, I'm not in a rush.
Well, I'll just interview you then, since.
Wow.
Would that be okay?
That would be okay. You can have another
right.
caller.
I'll tell you what, here's another topic that I had found. And, I really hate to leave that topic, because there's so much I think that could be added to it. Because that dynamic is, to me, so significant right now that we take under consideration that we need to have more varied opinions. And welcome to another guest. I think it's 3298. Welcome, guest, 3298. I hope you're registered. If you feel like giving us a call, please feel free to. My friend here, I'll just call you for the sake of anonymity, area code 315. Would that work?
That'll work.
Anyway, the number to call here is 347-945-7040. And this is the next phase with Ice and Friends. And what I mean by the next phase is that, you know, we've had the situations where that there's been a lot of, you know, acrimony, you know, crying and, you know, bemoaning this, that, and the other. And then to me, that there has to come a time where that we move to the next phase, which is addressing the issues with solutions rather than arguments, continually arguing with each other and you know, clearly defining what the issues are and coming up with the solutions. And so that is what I assess to be the next phase. But in moving along, and I, like I said, I really hate to move away from this topic because I think that, you know, where the nun made the decision to save a mother's life by allowing the abortion of a child, and what that actually was that they couldn't guarantee that if the mother carried the pregnancy to term, that both would survive, the child and the mother. And the mother had four children and a husband, and the administrator, who was a Catholic nun, recommended that if there was going to be a problem and there was a possibility of losing the mother's life, that she would rather abort the child and save the mother. And that way the family, the four children and the father, would have the mother, and there's a possibility, even though with all the distress and the pain and agony and suffering of having lost a child at birth, they would have an opportunity possibly for another pregnancy. And also that mother would be left there to assist in the raising of the other four children and to share in the decision-making process with the father. And so that was what the initial topic was about, and area code 315 was so gracious to share her opinion, being a practicing Catholic, and for that I'm deeply indebted to you, and I really appreciate you being so gracious as to offer your opinion.
Well, thank you.
And the one of the other issues was, there was a Democratic race in the Democratic primary in Atlanta for a governor. And I don't know if you, are you of African descent, or are you Anglo, or what exactly is your ethnic persuasion?
Well, I'm a
you might ask.
I'm an American.
Yeah,
right. I'm African American. And
okay.
Well,
well,
a little
all right.
bit of everything.
Well, I understand. This one is called Sparks Wins Democratic Race for Alabama Governor, and the GOP tied. Excuse me. And this is a story from Associated Press in Montgomery, Alabama. The Alabama's agriculture commissioner overwhelmed a congressman trying to become the first "quote unquote" black to win Alabama's Democratic nomination for governor, while four candidates ran a close race for the Republican nomination. With 58% of the precincts reporting, Agriculture Commissioner Ron Sparks won with 65% to U.S. Representative Arthur Davis, 35%. Sparks, who is quote-unquote white, had the support of the state's four major black political groups. In the crowded Republican field, former two-year college chancellor Bradley Byrne, Greenville developer Tim James, and Tuscaloosa physician Robert Bentley are tied at 26% each. Former Chief Justice Roy Moore is polling 20%. The top two in the GOP fight will advance to the runoff July the 13th. Now, you know, one of the interesting aspect, caller 315, are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. To me, the interesting aspect, and anybody else, if you choose to give us a call, please feel free to do so. We'd encourage your participation. And the number to give us a call here at is 347-945-7040. But the perspective that I you know, caught this at. As a matter of fact, I heard that this guy, Arthur Davis, He was a representative from Alabama, and he was very vocal. And but you know, he voted against, I think, the stimulus package in order to be more conservative coming from Alabama, hoped that his chances would be better in getting nominated as the Democrat for governor of that state. And it just so happened that the, I believe it was the agriculture commissioner, suggested that he would have voted for the stimulus package. And the weird thing was that I think four black political, well, not really political groups, but what was it? He was backed by four major black political groups in Alabama, that commissioner was. Now, may I ask you if you would consider this? Why is it that we always have to be saddled with being the first black this, the first black that? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand. But if there has been none before you, then you have to be first. Somebody has to be first.
Right.
There's always going to be a first, and there's always going to be a last. So,
right.
I mean, we get the privilege of being the first because it has never happened before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my opinion on that. Somebody's got to be first. Why not me? Why not us?
Right. Well, you know, now here's the perspective from which I view that, and the reason that I asked that question was that, you know, the news media wants to, in my opinion, make a point that this is the first, quote-unquote, black, potentially the first black governor, of, you know. And to my idea, why not say that the other guy who happened to be of Anglo descent, why not say he seeks the 53rd white term as governor of Alabama? You know, I mean, see, you understand what I'm saying? And for me, there's a different feel to suggesting that this guy is the, you know, 'cause there were 52 governors prior to this guy, gubernatorial election. I'm like, why not put the weight on these guys to suggest that?
Because that's where the weight is. It's
right.
On that first step. You don't ever hear about the 10th doctor that performed open heart surgery, but you do hear about the first.
All right.
You
right.
don't hear about the 75th president.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you hear about him along the line of progression, but the most important one was the first. Even children in kindergarten know about the first president of the United States.
Right.
You know? Now, who came after him? Was it,
right.
Who? I don't know, but
right.
I know who the first one was.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
so, therefore, the first of anything always sets the bar. The first of anything always
right.
gets all of the attention.
Right, right. But, you know, though, to me, see, there is a certain subtle persuasive aspect depending on how that an issue is presented. And when you present an issue, and especially in a state like Alabama, that with a history of
racism, I believe in calling a spade a spade.
Right,
it has
right.
had a history. I mean, they've gotten so much better, and
right.
and they have come out of that a lot, but. They did have a really bad history of racism.
Right, exactly. Now, may I ask you this, though? See, now, I have a problem with the idea of racism, right? Now, here's the problem that I have with the idea of racism. is because there's only one race, in my opinion. And that race is the human race.
Exactly.
Right?
But
you know, it's been labeled, for convenience sake, racial issues. And one of the things I've had, you know, and I love this because some of the chat sites that, you know, I go to, and I think you may go to also, and some of the political rooms that I find myself in, a lot of the people have this belief that there are different races, for instance, a black race and a white race and a Hispanic race and a Native American. And I suggest, you know, there is only one race. There are different ethnicities, different cultures, but there is only one race. I mean, do you think I'm incorrect?
That's all. There's only one race of people. But
right.
What I'm saying, their ethnicity.
I understand what you're saying.
Is different. The color.
Mm-hmm.
People
right.
Of color.
Right, exactly.
And,
mm-hmm.
like, the white people don't
mm-hmm.
like the black people. The red people don't like the yellow people. And we have people, beautiful people that God has made from every color that he did create. And that's what we call racism. But it's ethnicity.
Right.
It's people of color.
Right, exactly.
That don't like each other.
You know, my opinion is that, you know, I don't think that people don't like each other so much as, you know, when you focus on, you know, when you take this out of the context of it being so severe or so significant as being a quote unquote race thing, and you put it into me a different context, which is it's just a difference in color, arguing about what color should be preferred. And when you put it into that context, for me, it shows that there is a certain psychosis that goes along with an extreme investment in preferring one quote-unquote color over another color. It's like if someone said to me, you know, I hate you wearing a red shirt, or I just literally hate you because you wear a green. I mean, that to me is really trite and really trivial, you know. But when you can supposedly elevate it to a scientific position where that it may, you know, where there's such a big difference in our races, you know, then it gives it a different persona, so to speak, a different, it has you look at it from a different aspect. And my personal opinion is that when put in the proper context, what I find is that it's just an argument over what color you prefer. And that, to me, should not have any bearing on a person's ability to legally participate in different situations or circumstances. You know, I mean, you know, I can't let you vote because you are of a certain color, you know, for instance. And
that's called prejudice right there.
I'm sorry?
That's
right.
Called prejudice.
Exactly. I'm in total agreement with you. You know, for instance, if you know, and I'm bringing this issue because this room is all about this. If a person wants to play the race card in this room, I mean not in this room, on this show, which is, may I restate, the next phase with Ice and Friends, and you are a friend, I really appreciate you calling. If a person wants to play the race card in here, you absolutely feel free to do so because we play the cards in the deck that we're dealt, you know, in here. You know, and there's not going to be anybody that's going to suggest to anyone in here that, well, you know, that's the race card, and your position should be diminished due to that fact. Absolutely not. You know, your position is what your position is, regardless, you know, however you came to your conclusion. And if it happens to be that you feel that people are discriminatory or prejudiced against you just based on your color, then I think you should have the right to express your opinion and not be criticized for it, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I feel that there's a lot of that going on because either a person does not know, not take the time to understand, or just doesn't, they don't care. They don't care if they know or not. It has no bearing on their life, they think.
Right.
But eventually we all have a bearing on each other's lives.
Absolutely.
You know, what I do here, way up here,
right.
You don't know what I do for work or whatever, but what I do
right.
way up here
mm-hmm.
might have a bearing on you wherever you are
Absolutely.
In the United States.
Yes, ma'am.
So, therefore, you thinking is that it doesn't matter, you don't care.
Right.
That's the wrong attitude. To dislike a person for the way they look
right.
is not right. It's not godlike. It really is not. Because
right.
God makes all of us, and God does not make junk.
Oh, absolutely not.
And so, therefore, that's the only way we're going to do anything is together, is to
right.
get out of that old way of thinking where
right.
this one is better than that or whatever, and realize that I don't care what color skin you're clothed in, your mind is just as sharp as mine.
Right.
And my mind is just as sharp as yours. And maybe, just maybe, if we cooperate, we can be helpers one to another.
Absolutely. You know, that's very well stated. And I want to welcome Running Rose to the room. Thank you for coming. So glad to see you in the room. And you know, you better feel free to give a call if you choose to, Running Rose, 347-945-7040. And anyone else in the room, please feel free to give a call at 347-945-7040. And 315 will interview you. I'm just here with 315. It's her show. But want to welcome you to Ice and Friends Thursday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. And we really appreciate you joining us. And we'll discuss any topic that you bring to the fore. And hopefully in the future, we'll be having some guests to share with you, and some entertaining segments to share with you. And I just had to welcome Running Rose. This is, I think, second or third time that she's been here. I've been on there three times, and I just really appreciate the little lady.
Okay. I imagine my name will be in as soon as I can get my I get my password or whatever. I don't know what I've done, but I've done something.
Nah, it's no problem. We got time. As good Lord's will, we'll be back time and time again, because I think the whole idea of this, you can look on this site and you'll find any number of conservative shows. And I'm sorry. Oh, and those conservative shows are going to be addressing issues from the conservative perspective. And the conservative perspective is pretty much what we've been relegated to have to listen to. I'm 58 years old all my life. I've never really heard any too much alternative perspective. And so I thought, why not give the chance to an alternative perspective? And if you choose to enjoy it, fine. If you choose to have disagreement with it, fine. Give a call. You're more than welcome to. And but I really appreciate you, 315.
Hey.
Is this BMW?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, it is.
I just say Black Magic Woman then. All right. So I just wanted to be sure I had that right.
Well, I'm 65, actually.
Right.
And 65
Bless you.
Years.
Bless
65
you.
Years has made me, thank you, has made me see, live. I've lived through a lot of things.
Right.
A lot of things.
Right.
In the 40s, through the end of the war.
Right.
Coming on down to the 50s.
Right.
And then the 60s. 60s. I mean, I saw the original I Have a Dream speech. You know what I'm saying? I saw the I Have a Dream speech.
Right.
Actually saw in the newspaper, the current newspaper, the dogs and the hoses and stuff like that.
Right.
Actually, one time in where I live, there was a curfew, and people, I don't know, it was a race thing. And I have seen places where there were white and colored bathrooms and white and colored sinks, well, fountains where you drink from.
Right.
I have seen them say, well, order your food, but you've got to go with it. You can't sit here and eat it. I have seen that. Been there, done that.
Right. Well, you know, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
There are a lot of things I have seen. 65 years, almost 100 years, takes you a long way.
You know what this guy used to say, half a century? And you know, I mean, this is, I forget what he, you know, this guy come from Texas. Were you raised in New York, or were you raised in Florida and moved to New York?
Well, it was half and half. I lived, this happened where I was telling you about the black and white bathrooms and sinks and taking your food and you couldn't sit and eat it. This happened in New York State.
Wow. Yeah, wow. You know, I think my personal opinion is that New York State, I always have felt it was so much further advanced than, for instance, Texas. And what I've come to find out, you know, just in sharing information with different people on the internet, you know, because whenever you converse on the internet, you may be talking to Poland, you may be talking to Herzegovina, whatever it is, and you may be talking to Nigeria or Kenya, or, you know, there's no telling where your voice ends up when you're on the internet.
Yeah.
And the reaction that I've gotten is that there were some really dastardly things done to people, regardless to where
exactly
they were.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know.
I always said, you know what they did? The KKK, you know what they did? They took off the sheets and traded them for suits.
Right, exactly.
They took the guns and traded them for briefcases.
Right.
And if you think that pen and paper can't hurt you,
right?
Think again.
Right, exactly. You know, and I'll say, because this is, we'll be diverting into this particular issue time and time again ad infinitum, because there, I think, are so many people who, I think it's cathartic to express your true opinion and to feel free to breathe easy, to say what you feel and not feel inhibited by whatever the constraints of the show that you're trying to communicate in. Because I've seen a lot of hosts whenever, you know, I look at what I call C-SPAN, you know, C-SPAN, but I call it C-SPAN because, you know, people actually feel that they can share their true feelings on that show. And that show, to me, is all about numbers. It's all about getting those calls. And what they do is they actually editorialize and do commentary in a way that looks as though that it has full free audience participation, because they can read the articles, they can select the newspapers that they choose to, they can read the articles that they choose to, and then they can select the calls to react to those articles that they choose to. They can either choose what they call independent, which is literally, to me, a Republican, and they can have a Republican. They know prior to putting a call on the line what that call is going to be saying, and they have the same hosts with the same perspectives day in and day out. You know, and so what we're inundated with on a daily basis is just the perspective of one singular perspective, which is that Eurocentric perspective. And that's getting a little bit old for me. So that's one of the reasons that I wanted to launch something that had a little bit different approach to it, because you really don't find it. If you have any commentator that comes on any one of those shows who is of African descent, he, to me, or she feels compelled to be consistent with the views of that show, or else they know that they won't be asked to come back. And so then to me, it gives you the image that you're being represented, but the rhetoric that you hear is consistent with the rhetoric of the Eurocentric perspective. And so this, I hope, will be quite a different perspective. And it's not, you know, people say, well, it's bashing. No, I'm not bashing anyone. This is not about bashing. This is about, you know, everyone to me has a right to share their opinion. And if you choose to do so on the next phase with Ice and Friends, hey, just feel free to pick that old phone up and give us a call at 347-945-7040. And my guest host tonight is Black Magic Woman. And I really appreciate you calling. And in the room, I don't know the names of the individuals, except I know guest 2991, guest 3298, guest 3474, and a lovely lady, my good friend, Ms. Running Rose. And thank you so much for being here. And what happened? Oh, I don't know. Nothing happened that I know of. And you can type in the room, I think, if you. What I would suggest is that you register before you come into the chat room. And Running Rose knows this because she is absolutely phenomenally astute with the high tech components that we're exposed to these days. But Black Magic Woman, you were talking about the denial of services and so forth, and there's still a town here in Texas called Viador, Texas. Nothing, Running Rose, nothing. I was just commending you for being here and thanking you and letting you know that I appreciate you being here. And you feel free to call, and if you want to share, please do. I'll turn it, she left. Uh-oh. But anyway, there's a town in Texas called Viador, Texas, okay? And it's like going from Houston to Louisiana on I-10. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Well, anyway, that town disallowed for a long period of time people of African descent to find residence there.
Wow.
And what was so amazing to me was that when the president was there from Crawford, Texas, he was only about probably at the most 6 hours. Hey, welcome back, Running Rose. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. I'm welcome back. And if you want to give a call and you want to share some of your comments or opinions, Running Rose, 347-945-7040. But this town, Viador, Texas, didn't want to allow people of African descent. You don't know what happened. Nothing happened. Running Rose said, I don't know what happened. Nothing happened. I was telling you, thank you for being here is all. You know, but in Viador, Texas, like I say, George Bush, the president of the United States, was 6 hours away. I know you're shy, but you know you're welcome to give a call and share your opinions. But and John Cornyn, who was a very highly, he was in a high position in the Republican hierarchy in Congress. He lived about probably an hour and a half from Viador, and Tom DeLay, who used to be the majority, I think you call him the majority whip when the Republicans had control of the House of Representatives, he was about an hour and a half from Viador, Texas. And Kay Bailey Hutchinson, who lived in Dallas, was about maybe 3-4 hours away from Viador, Texas, maybe five, I'd say six at the most. And those individuals, to me, never sought to correct the situations in Viator, Texas. And you suggested that, you know, people weren't able to participate equitably in the food service and even the amenities of restrooms and so forth. Now, here's my position on that. Our tax money paid for the roads in Vidor, Texas. Our tax money paid for the U.S. Postal Service in Vidor, Texas. Our tax money paid for the FDIC to back the banks, the FSLIC to back the savings institutions, and the USDA that provided meat inspection, and any other government entity. We our tax money is provided for it, and I really have a problem with any citizen not being allowed and being protected to live where they choose to live. Am I making sense?
You're making perfectly good sense. But what I'm saying is, as long as you can be the maid and sweep the dirt under the carpet so it's not seen, not talked about, not brought out in the light, then the situation will continue. Somebody has to tell somebody about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And there has to be a stir. Change doesn't come on smooth seas. It comes on turmoil. You have to have turmoil. In order, just like you think the ocean is so calm, in order for it to clean, it's got to have that tide, that ebb tide, that turmoil.
Right, exactly.
So,
good point.
Therefore, when you see a situation like that, and you just endure it and don't say anything about it, nothing ever gets done, because no one likes to add more work onto their already busy plate, schedule.
Exactly.
But if somebody speaks up, the situation in Birmingham and all the rest of the places.
Mm-hmm.
If Dr. King had walked by and said, "No, let it be, let it be,"
right?
No change would have come. But he saw the situation and he started talking about the situation. He started making it public, known that there is a community in the United States of America, okay, where the land of the free and the home of the brave are. That will not let people of color move in there. The same people of color that bled and died on the battlefields of World War II, the same people that bled and died on the Korean front, the same people that are dying or bleeding and dying over in the Gulf thing. You know, I can die for you, but I'm not, able to live next door to you. Now, what kind of sense does that make? For God's sake, nobody's saying anything. Nobody's stirring the pot.
Right.
Because you can see from the little bit that I've said that this is so very unfair. This is the land of freedom. I am supposed to be able to live wherever my pocket will allow me to live.
Right, exactly.
With the stipulation that I be a good neighbor.
Right.
You know?
Right, exactly.
But this is so very unfair, and nobody's hearing about it.
Well, you know,
and nobody's
one of the
saying
things,
anything.
You know, one of the reasons my personal observation has been that people suggest, the minute you bring this up in mixed company, so to speak, the response inevitably your website now, wrong, this brother's trying to get in here. Let me see. How do I tell him to come on in here? Excuse me just a second. There's one of my friends from a chat site, the chat site that we share, Black Magic Woman. And I'll be glad when if he gets in here. This guy is a very rich, very rich with his positions. It's good. Well, you know what, Running Rose, I hope this brother gets in. This is a good cat. He's. I tell you, I think y'all would enjoy what he has to share. I don't know what else to how to get him in here, but anyway, let me continue on with what I was saying, and maybe he'll contact me, and maybe he'll get in here. We got still about 20 minutes left to go, but
I have one more thing to say, and then I'm gonna.
Oh, please do. Thank you.
And
I'll be working on this. Go right ahead. Thank you.
I believe that this goes right back to what you said before. The first. There has to be a first. That's why the first is so noticeable, because they are the first to cause waves and discontentment. And are you satisfied with how this is going? If not, cause a wave. People, and causing waves is not an easy thing.
Right.
I mean, really, it's not. So
right.
That's why that first person, the wave maker,
right,
is always
right.
recognized. And it's always remembered, because that's the one over there that made the wave.
Oh, exactly.
He's the one that caused the change to start.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you may not be there at the end of the change.
Oh, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
Start it and then leave it in the hands of somebody else to continue
right.
the wave. You know what I'm saying? And that's the way I figured. And
you know what my complaint? I got a complaint with Dr. Martin Luther King.
What?
I got a complaint with him. Have you ever heard many brothers say that?
Yes, I have. I'm 65 years old. I've heard it about all.
I bet you heard it all, or a lot of it anyway. You know what my complaint with Dr. Martin Luther King is? There should have been a million Dr. Martin Luther Kings. See, the whole, you know what I'm saying? And see, that's the same thing with Barack Hussein Obama. There needs to be a million, and there are a million. There, you know, when I look at my son's face, this has nothing to do with ethnicity, because along with ethnicity comes, is the caste system. And you see so many people who are stuck in the caste system. And one of the terms that they use in Texas a lot to iterate the caste system is don't get above your raisin.
Oh, wow.
Don't get above your raisin.
Why there are a lot of places I would not be welcome to live.
I couldn't
survive there, because I would be like a wave starter.
Right.
Call me a troublemaker.
Right. Well, you know, is troublemaking, is that what you call it when you want equitable
change for the better
opportunity and possibilities? Is that what it is, troublemaking? You know,
they call it troublemakers. Because
right.
I've heard them. When I was
right.
down in Florida for a little while, and
right.
They asked me, where are you from? I said, New York. Is one of those New York troublemakers. I said, oh, my God. They hate us up down there. But you're not going to come down here and start talking that stuff to our good people.
You know,
there's not anything that we can put there if there
right.
is nothing wrong that we see.
Exactly.
But there are, like, getting back to what you were saying, there are a million Martin Luther Kings. Every time you
Absolutely.
Look into a sea of faces of color, there are a million. All you have to do is step out there on faith and have the courage. A lot of people don't have the courage to step out.
Right. Well, I let me disagree with you, okay? We're going to disagree on that one, all right?
Well, all right. We can agree to disagree, but there
42?
Are a lot of people that are able to do it and just won't
right.
do it because it complicates their life. They're easy and they're settled and they're satisfied with where they are.
Right.
But what about Joe next door or Mary or Susie? or Jane and Lee over here. Mm-hmm. What about them? You know, what about your own children?
Right.
You know.
You know, here's what I want to disagree with you on. You said that a lot of people, what did you say, how did you put it? That you said the reason, you said a lot of people won't do it or afraid to do it or something like that, right?
Yeah, they won't do it.
Now, let me say to my idea, and you may disagree with me on this. Excuse me. Culturally speaking, we have always been taught to break it up. What are y'all doing standing there talking? You know, we were hung for studying, for reading, learning to read. I mean, a lot of people don't remember it. I mean, you know, this is historical. Am I right?
Yes.
And so that would dissuade you from improving yourself and your condition and your community and your and your situation. And so here's my point, is that a lot of people, you know, how did you get the confidence to accomplish the things that you've accomplished? How did you do it? Because to me, being around people who are absolutely phenomenally wonderful people in my community, I can say my community because when I speak that way, it's because I came from a segregated community initially. You know, back in the day, if you wanted to find us, you go across the tracks to the less desirable property. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's where we were. You understand what
in
I'm saying?
In the ghetto.
Yeah, so this is when I speak of this. This is where I'm coming from, and so my point is that I'll give you a for instance. That was when I went back home to my little town. It's 6,449 people in my little hometown in Texas, and I went back, and there were a bunch of us having a discussion, and there was an older guy there, and this older guy. I was, you know, these younger guys, we were talking, and I was like, dudes, man, we need to, come on, let's break up, let's break out and do some things, do this, do that, do this. And this older guy, here's what he told these guys. He said, you know, I'm going to do the dialect and everything, okay? He goes, man, you know that white man ain't going to let you. You know that white man ain't going to, you know. And
oh,
these guys just, he literally took their heart out. And I was like, dudes. Man, you know, don't listen to this. I mean, and I understand where he was coming from. I understand conscious vibration. Excuse me. Oh, wow. Oh, tell him thank you, conscious vibration, my brother. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Daggum it. There's some people that can't get in the room. I didn't know why. Oh, man, thanks, conscious vibration. Appreciate you, bro. But, you know, there are people who, I mean, legitimately had a, because you know what? Now, you'll remember this, Black Magic Woman. Like, I can remember, I'm just jumping all over the place because I'm just really enthused to have you with me here on this show. And it was, I really am, truly, honestly. And I'm enthused to have my lovely good friend, Miss Running Rose, and I don't know, guess 4241, 3474, 3298, 2991, but I'm so in conscious vibrations. I'm so thankful and grateful that you took the time to stop by. But here's the point. I can remember, and I don't know if many of y'all could see, you know, you and I are not far apart. When you were 7, I was 1, all right? So I had no problem there. When you were 15, I was 8. You know what I'm saying? You wouldn't have looked at me. You thought, oh, that's a little pipsqueak. You know, when you were 20, I was 13, you know. But anyway, here's my point, is that I can remember church, and I came up in a Baptist church, whenever people would literally pass out, they would praise so hard. And I'd go back in that little tiny, I mean, it was you know, fairly decent membership, maybe 100 members or whatever. And I can remember people praising, thank you, Running Rose. I appreciate it. Conscious, love you, bro. God bless. Or hey, you know, greetings. You know, because you and I, we see eye to eye. We just see it different, right? But people pray so, and you know what I thought about it, is that those people, they didn't have the justice system to depend on. They didn't have law enforcement to depend on. They had one source, and that source, and they would rock that house when they prayed. They would pray so hard that they would. They had pent up anxiety, pent up concerns, because they didn't know that if that child was going to make it back home that night or that week, or they didn't know if they were going to have a job that week, because they didn't know what those bosses were thinking about. They were, you know, the best jobs that I can remember a person of African descent having when I came was car wash job. You know, and you know, the only jobs available were, and see, my grandmom and them, they ran, absolutely, we a family running roast. My grandmom and them ran a laundry, a little take in, wash clothes, hang them out on the line. I can remember hanging out on the line at 20 degrees or 100 some degrees. And listen, I don't, but my point is that we, you know, we didn't have, to me, you know, you got the police department these days, and the police department protects and serves Anglos and enforces the law on African Americans or people of any alternate ethnic persuasion. And I was pulling up an article, and it won't come up for me for some reason. Listen to you. Now, Running Rose talking about clothes freeze on the line. You remember that? You don't remember that. But they used to have a bottle that they had a little sprinkler top they stick it in. That's what they sprinkle clothes and starch. And, you know, I remember I got my hand stuck in one of those ringers.
Whoa.
And stuck up to the
elbow.
They
hit the side of it, and the ringer popped off. It all popped open. So, yep, I remember that.
Lies soap and blueing in the blue bottle. You remember that? Y'all don't know about that stuff. But anyway,
yes,
do you really? This is where I came. And so when I look back and I see where I came from, and I understand the pressures that were exerted, and I'm just so grateful for the richness in my culture, the fabric of my people that had the survivalist instinct that they wouldn't back down, they wouldn't give up, and they persevered. And that is that undying spirit that's in me and a few others. And I understand. See, I saw both sides of the dollar bill, and you did too, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I remember when those little pinch purses, you know, the little pinch wire deal, you pinch it and it pops open. And I can remember my grandma always had about a quarter or a nickel or something to give me. She had it tied up in the corner of a handkerchief sometimes. You know what I mean? And but she always encouraged me. She and this was one of those instances where a village did raise a child, because every individual in that community had the greatest investment in your success. There were a few that didn't, but primarily, I'm sorry.
That is so true. It does take more than one person actually to raise a child. Because you can't watch that child always. You need
right.
help. You need somebody that's going to be on that child's side
right.
to help them along, you know, with you. And we used to be like extended families, what I call extended families.
Absolutely.
Uncle Jill.
Right.
Aunt Mary.
Right, exactly.
And she really wasn't your aunt. She
Absolutely.
Was a close neighborhood friend.
Oh,
and
sure.
you could
yep.
go down the street to
right.
Aunt Mary's house and eat, you know?
Oh, they don't make
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Aunt Mary will see you do wrong,
oh,
and you
sure.
might get a hiding. And
oh.
she'll get on that phone and call your mother. When you get home, you got another hiding problem.
No.
So it persuaded you. If you were any other mind to do wrong, so I better not do that. I'm gonna get three or four whoopings.
Exactly.
And they didn't call it child abuse either. And people come along in our time and age. Where are they now? Lawyers, doctors,
right.
judges,
exactly,
workers, productive citizens in the community.
Right.
But these days it's where you can't say this to that child. You can't say that to the other child.
Right, right.
And even the parents, these young parents will get jealous of
right.
the relationship that you might build with their child.
Right,
they,
right.
You see them and they're not there with them, you can
right.
persuade them to come off the corner and
right,
not
exactly.
get
yep.
shot in a drive-by.
We
leave my child alone, or don't
mm-hmm.
do this, or that's
mm-hmm.
my child.
Right.
Nobody ever put a disclaimer on that. That is your child. All I'm doing
mm-hmm.
is trying to be a surrogate mother, trying to help that child out, help you help that child.
Right.
You know, I'm trying to help you. But if
right.
you don't want my help, I can, you know, extend it to someone else.
Well, you know, I'll say this, and we got like 5 minutes, and I had, you know, and I, let me say again, I'm so grateful. Running Rose, thank you so much. And I guess 4241, thank you so much for being here. 3474, 3298, 2991. And my brother, Conscious Vibrations, thank you so much. And my co-host, Black Magic Woman, thank you so, so much. But may I say this, is that you said that people don't know. And the thing is that we should never, I have a problem with when you say, we're going to teach this, we're going to teach. You know, we can't ever teach anything if a person isn't, they don't have a desire for that knowledge.
Or they're not willing to learn. You can't
well,
teach them.
No, they don't
have
a desire. I think a person, people are willing to learn, but they don't have a thirst for that knowledge. It's not relevant. And so, you know, the teaching part of it, you know, a lot of people are totally capable of providing instruction that would allow a person, if they chose to probably exceed my expectations, me, go right past me. I don't have a problem with that because they encouraged me at that point to go forward too, farther, you know, myself as well. But what I'm saying is that we have the information, some information that we could provide. But if that person doesn't have a thirst and a desire for that knowledge, and how do you create that? That, to me, is what a teacher has to be able to do, is to create that hunger, you know. And once you create that
hunger. So
that's
why you do your homework. As a teacher, you do your homework. You study
right, okay.
that person. You find out what interests them, what
right.
pushes those buttons.
Right.
And then you start pushing those buttons like you've gone crazy.
Right.
You know, you start pushing those buttons like you've gone crazy. Like some people, some boys might like boxing. Equate
right.
boxing with world history. What it was boxing with no gloves? You know what I'm saying? This ruler tried to take over that ruler, and you know what he do? He,
right.
he, you know, he gave a couple of jabs, and then when he saw his opening, he finished him up with a white red cross. You know what I'm saying? Analogy. Use analogy in your teaching. Do what you have to do to get that mind stimulated, stirred.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I say, you know, we got 90 seconds to go. Lovely Miss Black Magic Woman, let me let you. I'd let you give you a minute and give me 30 seconds, and I'll wrap it up. If you have anything, any final things to say, would you please go right ahead and do it, and I'll take what's left, and I'll wrap it up.
I think I have done a shotgun thing where I've hit
mm-hmm.
just about a little of everything. But
I
try to encourage people, regardless of who you are or where you are,
mm-hmm.
to if you see something wrong, don't sit there and take it, because if
right.
you take it, then your children are going to have to take it too.
Right.
And you
exactly.
want better for your children.
Right. And may I say in closing again, I want to thank the guests, 2991, 3298, 3474, 4241. My lovely, dear, and precious sister, Running Rose, thank you so much. Conscious Vibrations, thank you very much. And my lovely friend and associate here, Miss Black Magic Woman, thank you so much for pitching in and helping out. And hopefully in the future we'll have guest, more guests. This is my guest tonight. And I wish Running Rose, 10 seconds to go. Thank you for joining us on the next phase with Ice and Friends. Please feel free to do so 7, 8:30 p.m. Thursdays, right here on Blog Talk Radio, where you should be. Anytime you choose to be, you're welcome here. Thank you so much.
I'm gone.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Bye-bye.